The next thing I want to say about work is a lot of us get clean or sober and find out that what we could do loaded, we can't do straight. This is a big shock, you see, especially between 3 and 6 years. And you know, you've been doing this all your life. You've had this job for 20 years, and now you're 4 years sober, and you hate it. And you have the distinct impression that you are the round peg in a very square hole, and it just doesn't work anymore. And if you are going to recover, you may have to change jobs. You may have to change careers. You may take a cut in pay. And this is a very valid spiritual question. What are you going to do? I met a woman in Las Vegas who worked as a cashier. I mean, one of the head cashiers. She made $1 zillion. Wonderful insurance benefits for the casino. Been sober 5 years and hated the job. And she said, it's real clear to me. Do I accept security or do I want to sleep well? That's the choice. I don't know what choice she made, but it was clear that that was the thing. And so work is a big issue. And it is strongly attached to recovery. Okay. Loving. Let me first say that hormones may or may not help. I used to go to a men's stag in Los Angeles called the Hollywood Thursday Night Men's Stag. Was the most serious AA meeting I've ever been to in my life. It was a problem-solving meeting. This is men, remember. We solve problems. And if you were having a problem sober, you went to this meeting and threw it out on the floor, and if someone else there had a similar problem sober and got through it sober, he shared how he did it. So the format was to read from chapter 5 and then wait for the first problem. One night, we waited 24 minutes. Silence. And everyone's there because we were doing just fine, thanks. This was the kind of meeting where when the moon got full, the meeting got fuller. Oh. And guys would come in every so often sweaty and shaky and their eyes kind of glazed over. And they would say, man, I'm in love. I finally met her, you know. I finally met him. Everything wonderful. And we would say, lie down and don't sign anything. This too will pass. Okay. As I said, hormones may or may not help in the love business. Let me make another distinction. Sex may or may not be part of this too. There are people somewhere in recovery who have had sex with people they would not have coffee with. Okay? You know, can we talk, all right? And what's also true is if some of us feel just a couple of hormones start to rush through our bodies, we can talk ourselves into anyone, you know. There's a wonderful old song about they sure get prettier at the bar around closing time. You know, yes. You know, we have 6 minutes to make contact. So, now what to say positively about this? I think love is a decision. Okay. I think love is a decision not about my feelings, because my feelings come and go. This is one of the reasons they're so crazy making. They don't stay around as long as I do. You know, you feel real close to somebody on Monday and on Thursday you'd like them arrested. Okay. This has happened to more than one person in recovery. So how do we, you know, love is a decision not about my feelings but rather about my behavior. I choose to behave in a certain way towards another person or groups of other persons, even if I don't feel like it. Isn't that being insincere? No, it's being grown up. You see? So how do you behave? Well, fairly, gently, honestly, following a very basic Al-Anon program of, we give and take as equals here. I can share from what I have and you can share from what you have, but I'm not going to fix you, own you, operate you, rescue you, or possess you. Okay? We're going to do this different this time, which is very threatening for all of us. A lot of us wait for, here's the problem. There's a cycle. It works for heroin, but it works for sex too, and here's how it goes. Stage number one is called short-term gain. Short-term gain. This means, this feels really, really good. I'm going to do it until it falls off. Short-term gain. This is followed by, invariably, always, by long-term pain. All right? So you shoot up, have a great 3 hours, and then try not to die for the next 3 weeks. Okay? Short-term gain, long-term pain, followed by stage three, disillusionment. I'll never do it again. You swear off forever with and without a solemn oath. You just, no, not me. I'm not going to do that again. I learned my lesson. All right. Stage four, agitation. It's Friday night. The moon is full. You sit down and you want to stand up. You stand up and you want to sit down. Your skin crawls. You're real uncomfortable. You can't stand it. You're starting to feel feelings. Oh, God, anything but that. And you decide that rather than feel agitated, you're going to go out and get some short-term gain. Follow it with long-term pain. Followed by disillusionment, followed by agitation, followed by short-term gain. A lot of us get sober, and what we were doing with alcohol, we start doing with people. You see? I mean, it's like, will someone in this room please fix me? I'm feeling a little anxious. We'll exchange names later, boom, let's go. A fellow I know, 5 years sober, started dating. And he dated five women in the course of a year. And three of them attempted suicide. Not because of him. Remember, Al-Anon principles. He's not that powerful. But as he was driving the third to emergency, it occurred to him that these odds were slightly higher than usual. So he went to see his therapist to discuss this. And they discussed all these things, and the therapist said, listen, the next time you go into a room and there are people there, it's a social occasion, and suddenly she walks in, and you know this is the one, and your heart just starts pounding in your breast, and your pulse is going like this, and you burst out in sweat, and your eyes glaze over, and you can barely move. The shrink said, don't even say hello. He said, this is a drink with two legs. He said, instead, look around the room for someone who to you seems a little dull. Probably because she's not going to try to hang herself this weekend. Walk up to her, say hello. you know, have you seen any movies lately? Do you read books? What's your sign? All that California small talk, you know? Have a conversation, even if it's real strained and painful and awkward. Ask her out. Ask her out 10 times, each time having the only object being conversation. And he said, you're ruining my social life. He says, no, we're building a social life, you know? See, the short-term gain, long-term pain equation has to get changed. And it has to get changed to read like this. For us to recover, we have to understand the concept and the practice and the discipline of short-term pain followed by long-term gain. It's like, how do you get off the bottle? Well, you're going to be uncomfortable for a little while. You know? I mean, it didn't happen for me where I got into AA and turned grateful and serene. You see? There was an awful thing that went on for a long time. And by long time, I mean 3 to 5 years. Where I had some great moments, but then all of a sudden a lot of old pain would come back. And why aren't I better by now? And so the image that I got, that it was explained to me, was like recovery from addiction, alcoholism, was a lot like recovery from severe burns. How does that work? Well, a burn unit in the hospital is a very intense place. If you have been badly burned over most of your body, you don't feel much pain for a while. And the reason you don't is because your nerve endings are gone. So you lie down, you leak a lot, you could die of infection real quickly, you're in a very dangerous place, but you're so out of it you don't know it. When you start recovering is when your nerves start growing back, and you know they're back when you start to hurt. So you go in not just to mild discomfort, but to anguish, screaming in the hospital that you've been here for 3 months and you feel like hell now. You felt a lot better the first week inside the ward. And the staff wanders around and says things like, this pain means you're getting better. And no one believes them. And they'll say, this pain will pass. You have to feel the pain before you can ever get well. That's real true in recovery. And the pain comes in all kinds of different flavors, and my pain is not your pain. But pain is pain. And it's feeling that without anesthetizing it with booze and dope. But we'll try to anesthetize it with other things. You know, we'll use sex, or we'll use sugar, or we'll use work, you know, which is an American-approved vice. And if we stay busy all the time, we don't feel the pain. But the time comes, and it might be 6 months or 6 years or 16 years into recovery, when you finally slow down enough to start feeling some of that initial pain so we can get to the other side.
Please turn the tape over and continue on the other side.